Mark Cuban.
How you do anything is how you do everything. If you're not, if you don't pay attention to detail on the little things, you're not going to be in the habit of paying attention to detail for the big things.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Hey, he wears his hat backwards. Well, I wear my hat backwards because my dad had a fro and I wanted to wear his hat. And if I put his hat on at age six and, you know, he's got a 8.5 and I got like a little 5, it's not going to really stay on my head.
Jeannie Buss.
Thank you for having me. What a nice turnout. It's good to see everybody.
John Smoltz.
If you don't have the imagination and the willingness to fail or not being afraid to fail, I don't think you can be truly great.
Candace Parker.
I have so much hope for this generation coming up that have grown up with women in sports, in leadership roles, on television, speaking about sports, speaking knowledgeably about sports.
Pau Gasol.
To me, all the work that I've done, all the humanitarian work that I've done, has always given me great perspective, has allowed me to keep my feet on the ground, and has really put and reminded me what's truly important.
Damian Lillard.
That was for Seattle.
Just to name a few. Welcome to Sports Business Radio. Now, here's Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for joining us on Sports Business Radio this week. This week's edition is presented by Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment. Visit morganstanley.com/GSE. Joining me on Sports Business Radio this week, I've looked forward to this for a long time. Tracy McGrady, Basketball Hall of Famer, founder of the Ones Basketball League. McGrady talks about his Hall of Fame NBA career, which saw him lead the NBA in scoring twice and become one of the best players of his generation. We discuss the dissolution of his 27-year relationship with Adidas. He shares a unique insight with us about Kobe Bryant, the business person. And we discuss the Ones Basketball League and the forthcoming documentary on the league that debuts July 28th on Showtime. I also want to remind our audience that we have selected the Underdog Fantasy Underdog of the Month for July. Markita Vondrasova, the first woman to win Wimbledon as an unseeded player, is our Underdog Fantasy Underdog of the Month for July. Congratulations to her. You can send us your nomination for Underdog Fantasy Underdog of the Month on Twitter at SB Radio or on Instagram or Threads at Sports Business Radio. A reminder, we've got a special offer for Sports Business Radio listeners. New users get up to $100 matched on their first deposit when they use the code SBR. So download the app at underdogfantasy.com or in your app store and then enter the promo code SBR to get up to $100 to play with. I'm joined by executive producer Brian Griggs. Griggs, how are you?
Doing great and looking forward to Tracy McGrady, one of the best to ever play on the hardwood and just a super cool guy and another one of those you know athletes that has taken his career off the court and done so many great things. I love the conversation about his 27-year Adidas relationship. I mean, to have an endorsement that long is pretty impressive, and he was definitely the face of Adidas throughout the NBA during his career. So great interview. He's an awesome guy and got some good things coming up, so fun to talk to him.
Well, and you're here, and I don't want to give it away, but, you know, he and Kobe Bryant were really close. And years before athletes thought about owning their own brand, you know, doing their own shoes, forming their own agency to do all the creative for their commercials, these two were talking about this. And, you know, they were way ahead of their time business-wise, and you'll hear him talk about Kobe. And, you know, in T-Mac's opinion, Kobe was going to be doing better things off the basketball court post-career than what he had done on the court. That's pretty remarkable when you figure out the career that Kobe Bryant had and the championships he won. So that was interesting insight. But yeah, Tracy McGrady, has done so many things off the court since he retired as well. He was a broadcaster on ESPN. He's done some podcasting. He's got this Ones Basketball League. May we see him start his own brand after dissolving his relationship with Adidas? You'll have to listen to find out. But, one of the reasons I love hosting this show is when you have a Hall of Fame athlete like Tracy McGrady, who then puts on his CEO hat post-career, and you get to see him shine as a CEO. And he's certainly doing that. It was a pleasure to speak with him. you know, I loved watching him during his career. I love the T-Mac Yao Houston Rockets team. I mean, Yao, people forget about how good Yao Ming was. And if he had not gotten hurt, he would have been one of the all-time greats as well. And again, leading the NBA in scoring is not an easy feat. And this is at a time when Allen Iverson was playing, Kobe was playing, Shaq was playing, Duncan, KG, and T-Mac led the NBA in scoring twice. So that is a pretty remarkable accomplishment, Greg.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you think about even back when he was playing, the three-point game was not as big as it is now. So right. You had to score harder. I mean, you're dunking, you're playing in the key a lot more than the guys do now. So, you know, I love, you mentioned the Houston team. That was such an iconic team. I mean, that was must-watch TV when Houston was playing because Yao Ming was just like a freak, a beast. You know, you just never see a player like that. And then T-Mac and the crew around him, it was fun to watch that Houston team.
Yeah. And then you'll hear us talk about NBA All-Star Weekend. Like, both of us think it's pretty stale. It's for the sponsors. Like, it needs some things to liven it up. And we think this one-on-one league could really inject some energy into NBA All-Star Weekend. So you'll have to listen to the interview for our ideas around that. All right, some headlines, Griggs. This one, when I read it, it's another one of those, you know, you get headlines every once in a while, like USC and UCLA are moving to the Big Ten, and you're like, that can't be true. That's got to be a typo. Well, I saw this one, that Saudi Arabian club Al Hilal is preparing a $1.1 billion offer to inside Mbappe from PSG. And I was like, wait a minute, what? 1 year, $1.1 billion? And you start looking at some of the numbers in LeBron James's career, his entire career. On court earnings, $531 million. Patrick Mahomes' deal through 2031, $494 million. The value of the NHL's Arizona Coyotes, $450 million. Tom Brady's all-time NFL earnings, 20-plus years, $332 million. So you start looking at the career earnings of LeBron and Brady, and you factor in those numbers I just gave you, and you go, wait a minute, Mbappe can earn... what it would come down to him is $776 million in salary for 1 year. That is insane. So when we talk about the Saudi Arabian money and what it's done to the PGA Tour, what it's doing to tennis, if this is what happens with soccer, you know, and then you had Griggs, I don't know if you saw LeBron James's tweet, Giannis's tweet, like they're like, hey, Mbappe, take me with you. You know, let me come over for a year. And it would be really interesting. I mean, you know, again, you have this dilemma if you're these elite athletes like Mbappe, or will this filter to basketball where a Saudi Arabian basketball league says, you know what, we'll give LeBron and Giannis $1 billion each and invite them over to play. There's so much money in Saudi Arabia that I don't think people can wrap their minds around it. But here we go. Right. So you can buy a team, or you can buy a sport like they did with the PGA Tour, or you can buy the best athletes in the world. And I don't care who you are. I actually think Mbappe is going to turn this down, remarkably enough, much like Messi turned down the money that he was offered. But it was nowhere near this amount. But I don't know how you, if you're LeBron James, you're at the end of your career and someone offers you $776 million for 1 year. Do you say no to that?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be tough. I don't know how you think about that. Like, you're right. It's so mind-blowing numbers where you're like, one season and it's over $1 billion. It's just like, how do you even wrap your mind about it? And the thing that annoys me is these leagues, how do you compete with that? You know, how does PSG come back and say, we'll offer you $1.5 billion? I mean, you can't do it.
You don't. You don't. Yeah, this is, you know, as they say on some of those websites, it's like, ends the bidding.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's buy now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no more bidding here. When Saudi Arabia enters the conversation for a sport, for a team, for an athlete, like, the bidding is over. Yeah. There's really no one else. I mean, unless, you know, one of the wealthiest people in the world steps up. and is like, hey, you know, we're going to devote this amount of money to you. But this is going to be really interesting, because if this does happen, it's going to reset the market for athletes, not just soccer players, but I think basketball, golf, you know, I don't know if they're going to get into American football over there. Probably not. But, you know, when you have Giannis, who, you know, his tweet was funny because he's like, I kind of look like Mbappe. Like, I've got the haircut. I'm a little taller than Mbappe. And then, you know, LeBron posted the Forrest Gump, you know, running down the street. Like, he'd be running to Saudi Arabia to collect his $776 million. Like, those are elite athletes. When they take notice of stuff like this, I guarantee you the Saudi Arabian, you know, sovereign wealth fund, the people providing this money, they're like, ooh, we could get Giannis. We could get LeBron. Like, it's exactly what they want, right? They want to get the attention of other elite athletes around the world because they want to become the place for sports. So anyways, that was mind-blowing when we saw that. And again, I thought it was a typo, but then I was like, well, I guess not. So, you know, let's see what Mbappe does. The other big deal of the week is NFL clubs unanimously approved the sale of the Washington Commanders to Josh Harris and his group of investors that include NBA great Magic Johnson. So the sales price, as we've told you before, $6.05 billion. That's the most amount of money ever paid for a sports franchise. So that resets the market. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of people that have suggested, even after a name change and rebrand a year or two ago, that they should just start fresh, like distance themselves from Dan Snyder, who, by the way, was fined $60 million on the way out, the largest fine ever levied to an NFL owner, player, anyone. There was a report that was done. I linked to the report at SB Radio on Twitter if you want to read it. But let's just say a lot of wrongdoings were done by Dan Snyder. And it was basically pay the $60 million and we will settle all legal matters with you. Or I don't know what would have happened. It would have gotten ugly because you would have had more lawsuits. Like, they needed to get him out of the league. And they did. But $60 million when you're getting $6.05 billion, you know, that's like saying to us, Griggs, like, hey, you're fined $100.
Yeah.
Right. You know, is it, I know it's meaningful because it's the biggest fine ever levied in the NFL, but also for what he did, you could argue, you know, you put him in the class with former Clippers owner Donald Sterling as worst sports owner of all time and most dishonest sports owner of all time. So good riddance to him. If I were the Washington football team, I would do a rebrand. I would distance myself from Commanders, from Dan Snyder, from anything having to do with them. It'd be exciting for the fans, but I would completely turn the page. Their ticket sales and suite sales are already up 52% since this purchase was made last week. So it just shows you a lot of people and a lot of companies were like, once you get rid of Dan Snyder, we're back in. I mean, Washington, D.C. is a hotbed of NFL fans. And you know, people forget back in the day, Washington's football team was really good. They won Super Bowls. Joe Theismann, John Riggins. Like, there's a lot of enthusiasm in that area, but no one wanted to support Dan Snyder. So now that Snyder's gone, are people going to be like, okay, it's okay to buy tickets again. It's okay to sponsor the team again. It's okay to do business with the team again. It looks like that's going to be the case. I would still do the rebrand. And then they've got to figure out the stadium deal. There's a lot of people think that they need a new stadium. Is it going to be in a better location? What's going to happen there? And, you know, Josh Harris, if you don't know who he is, he owns a big chunk of the Sixers, of the NBA. He owns the New Jersey Devils. Like, this guy's pretty savvy. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's got a good group of investors here. Magic Johnson is part of the group. And we all know how Magic can add credibility and, you know, a big smile and notoriety to a group like this. So that's a big get for them to get him to be part of this group. So big day for the NFL, big day for Josh Harris, big day for the Washington, D.C. area, Griggs.
Yeah, thank God that Snyder is no more in that league because, I mean, we've been talking about this for years and years, you know. It's so overdue, but thankfully it's done. And, you know, I agree. I think the The fine's not huge for him, but, you know, for people like us, that's a good size fine. It's got the record. That's good. I mean, he's gone. They're closing it out. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Washington moves forward. Like you mentioned, they're such a great fan base, such a great city. I think, obviously, the fans are excited about it, too. Tickets are up. Sales are up. That's awesome to hear. And I'm with you. I think a rebrand would be great. Start this thing fresh over. Maybe get a new stadium deal in the works, too. It's going to be fun to see. But thank you for the NFL on this move. It's a good move for the NFL.
Yeah. All right. A few things before we get to the Tracy McGrady interview. We had Oscar De La Hoya on last week. If you missed that conversation, go back and listen to it. It's really good. It's very real and raw. It's not Oscar, you know, just promoting stuff. Like, it's real, get to know the human being, Oscar De La Hoya. His new documentary is now out on HBO and streaming on Max, The Golden Boy. I invite you to watch that. It's not your typical, you know, puff piece documentary. It's a real human, raw documentary. We've got Tracy McGrady and the Ones League documentary coming out July 28th on Showtime. So watch that. And then I'm going to give a quick plug, even though he wasn't with us on the show. Hopefully he will be someday. But I watched it, Underrated, the Steph Curry documentary on Apple Plus TV. I watched it. It was very well done. And, you know, I've always been a huge Steph fan. He just does things the right way. He comes from a good family. He's a good husband and dad. And, you know, my takeaway from that documentary is this guy in high school and college, like, you know, he had to change his shot. He shot from his waist. He turned himself into the greatest shooter of all time. He looked like he was the ball boy when he first came into the league. And, you know, if people forget, he had a lot of injuries at the beginning of his career, ankle injuries. And what he turned himself into is one of the all-time great stories. I mean, he was not a physical specimen like LeBron or Michael Jordan coming out of college. Like, he really had to reinvent his game, become the greatest shooter of all time. And then, you know, obviously he does great stuff off the court too, like what he's done with golf, and he's done some great stuff with Under Armour. So it was a good doc. I liked it. I wish he would have been able to join us on the show to talk about it, but hopefully sometime in the future. But yeah, those are three good things for you to watch. Oscar De La Hoya on HBO and streaming on Max. Obviously, the Ones Basketball League and Tracy McGrady, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but that's on Showtime starting July 28th. And then Steph Curry's documentary, Underrated, is on Apple TV Plus, and it's on there now. So coming up next, Tracy McGrady, Basketball Hall of Famer and the founder of the Ones Basketball League. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
There's nothing common about you. Not your talent, your drive, your achievements, or even your challenges. You need distinctive financial strategies that match your lifestyle and career trajectory. Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment was created to address your specific needs at every stage of your career and deliver the financial education and strategies you need to help advance your game plan. They speak the language. They know your business. Morgan Stanley will work with you to achieve your goals. I've trusted Morgan Stanley with my personal wealth management for almost 20 years. Visit Morgan Stanley at morganstanley.com/GSE. That's morganstanley.com/GSE.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
My guest is Tracy McGrady, Basketball Hall of Famer, 7-time NBA All-Star, 2-time NBA scoring champion. He's the founder of Ones Basketball League. There's a documentary coming out called Bonded by Ball Inside the OBL. It debuts July 28th on Showtime. Tracy, thanks so much for joining me on Sports Business Radio. How are you?
Brian, thank you for having me. I'm doing well, buddy. Just been traveling, promoting, and about to go on vacation here, so much needed one.
Yeah, I bet. I'm really impressed with what you've done post-career, business-wise, and I'm interested in finding out, you know, you came into the NBA, you were 18 years old. How much did you think about the business end of things when you entered the league?
I never thought of it. No, I never thought about that because, as you know, my upbringing wasn't revolved around business. You know, no one in my family made over $40,000. And the highest education in my family was high school. So for me, it was a big deal at 18 years old to make it to the NBA, to retire my grandmother, who worked as a janitor at my elementary school for 30 years, to retire my dad, who worked at a fertilizer plant, you know, for over 20 years. And my mom was a housekeeper at Disney for a lot of years. So, you know, to retire then and just be the son and the match that really changed the trajectory of my family is, it meant everything to me. So I, you know, as a kid, I didn't think about that, but later on in my career, just having the conversations with my peers and the people that are around me, started to change my mindset on that.
Yeah. Was there someone who kind of took you under their wings and showed you the business ropes?
I had, you know, some folks around me that was, you know, close to me during my playing career, that really showed me the ropes, got me involved in some things, you know, on the business wise, like owning some federal government buildings that I never thought I would be able to own. I had some great investments during my playing career, and I wasn't privy to even knowing that I can do that. But like I said, I had some great advisors around me that put me in some great situations.
I look at Victor Wembanyama now. I'm in Portland. They just drafted Scoot Henderson. You know, young guys like you were. But Tracy, I got to tell you, I mean, like you and Kobe and KG, you were so professional when you came into the league. But I see these guys doing interviews now, and I don't know if it's because of social media or what, but they seem so polished now. Do you observe that as well?
Listening to Scoot, listening to Victor, these guys are more polished than I can, you know, even imagine being at their age. It took me quite some time, but, you know, I think social media has a lot to do with these guys, with their growing and, you know, them maturing beyond their age. So they're more than ready to take on this position. Whereas, you know, with me, I'm fresh out of high school, not really knowing a lot, you know, wasn't really social like that. I was to myself. I was a very quiet kid and just didn't have the awareness and didn't really know a lot. And it was really trial and error with me coming into the league. But you look at these kids now, they have so much, they have so much access, you know, mm-hmm. to the knowledge and to really, you know, being around, you know, NBA players, their peers before they even play a game. I didn't meet my first NBA player until I was eligible to come out of high school, to make myself eligible for the draft. Like, that was my first time. But these guys are early years in high school, and they're being around their, you know, guys that have played at the highest level. They have access to these people, and it's just a different ball game now, which, you know, I think is great for the game of basketball. It's great for these kids, so they have the knowledge of what they're about to get into.
I mean, and the money is so much different too. I mean, you made a lot of money, but the money now is insane, right?
You think? Look, I was just having this conversation the other day. I was looking at a kid that averaged like 12 points and was about to make $150 million. Like, it's the craziest thing ever nowadays.
No kidding. Yeah, I think that often as well. All right. I know you get asked frequently about your relationship with Kobe as it pertained to basketball, but is there a great story you can share about Kobe, the businessman?
Yeah, he was, you know, Kobe was very, very intellectual. He's sharp, man. He's just like, he was so much different than any of the guys that I've ever been around. And I learned this at the age of 18, being with Kobe, staying with him at his house. Just the way he moved. He was just different. He was just wise beyond his years, man. And I think that just comes from, you know, his dad playing professional basketball, him being in Italy, being around the pro game. And he just soaked up so much knowledge of being around it. But I remember Cole calling me one time. We had a conversation and we were going to start our own talent agency because, you know, we were with Adidas, and Adidas outfit, they will call a third party to bring them in to do our commercials or any type of our promotional stuff. And Kobe is like, I want my own. I want to be creative. I want to have my own say so. I don't want to take somebody else's, you know, their vision on what, you know, something that I'm involved in should look like. He was like, I just want to create my own. I want to have my own business. And he called me about that one time, and I just thought he was so crazy. So we had conversations about starting our own agency. We had conversations about starting our own shoe company. Like he was trying to do everything that was already being done by major corporations, but he was just thinking beyond, like, I don't need them. We could do it ourselves. And that's where, you know, nowadays guys are doing stuff themselves because of social media, and they don't need Adidas or the Nikes. They can, they have the relationships with manufacturers in China or in Portugal or these places, or, you know, even their own clothing line. So it's a different era, but he thought about this like 15, 20 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I've heard he was as competitive in the business world as he was on the basketball court. Would you say that's true?
Oh, for sure. For sure. He always was looking for a challenge. And from a business perspective, Kobe challenged himself. And I actually thought Kobe was about to be more successful off the court than he did what he was able to accomplish on the basketball court. I mean, he was involved in some phenomenal things, and he knew a lot, man. He knew a lot.
Yeah, like you, I think you guys have done such a great job of building relationships and networking. And, you know, a lot of the athletes I talk to on this show, the successful ones realize while you're relevant and you're playing, that's the time to build the relationships. And it seems like you've done a great job of doing that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you come across so many people throughout your playing careers, whether it's domestically or internationally, globally. I think it's important that you really establish great relationships and find out who are good people and who's doing good business, and try to rub elbows with those guys and see what type of business you'd be doing. Now, I've done a phenomenal job here in America and also here in China. You know, some great partnerships in China. And we just have to be a person that is into something like that. And I realize everybody don't want to be rubbing elbows and having these conversations with people because that's just not who they are. But I realized the opportunity that was right in front of my face, and it's done me, a good deed of, you know, being successful, being out of the game for 10 plus years.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Ones Basketball League. I love this idea because it's not only a basketball league, but I feel like you're telling some great stories as well. And you've got this documentary coming out with Showtime on July 28th. First, how did you come up with the idea for this league?
So really a couple parts to that. So I have two sons of my own. Right now they're 14 and 17, but at the time they was a little bit younger. And my sons, you know, when I was working for ESPN for 4.5 years, this is the time that Steph and LeBron and the Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors is playing every single year in the finals. And my boys are fans of both of these guys. And not once did they ask me to go, you know, to the game, to the finals, and just be a part of that. Entertaining, be a part of that history. And, you know, I just thought that was weird. Like, y'all love the game of basketball. These are your favorite players, and y'all don't want to come to the games. Like, when I'm at home, I'm watching the games with my boys on their video games. But they would come to me and know everything about the game of basketball, everything that's going on. Such and such has this many points. So did you see that last night? So all of their information comes from YouTube, and it's all short form clips off of YouTube. And it was a couple of days, I came in the house and I walked by and on the TV is some guys playing basketball, pickup basketball. I just sat down and watched it with my son, and these guys was just on, you know, blacktop, just playing pickup basketball. And then it turned into one-on-one because a couple guys just got into it and everybody backed up and let these guys play one-on-one. So that was happening more often than not when I came in the house. This was my kids gravitated towards. I'm like, okay, so I have my own AAU program as well. And these guys are always asking me about, you know, playing one-on-one. Coach, who will win? You or Kobe? You or KD? Like, they always ask me these questions, right? So after practice, they like to call King of the Court. They want to know who's King of the Court, and they play one-on-one basketball. So I am receiving a lot of information in one-on-one through my kids. Well, I understand that they're underground basketball leagues in terms of wages being thrown around. Like, if I'm from my neighborhood, there's a guy that someone will be backing financially to take him across town to play another player for tens of $15,000. So why I know this, yes, I know this is going on. So I'm just processing all of this information. Like, yo, it's about time for a one-on-one league. We got to start a one-on-one league. We have 3-on-3 that has gone global. One-on-one is the pure essence of basketball. And I think it has to be done right now. It's been done before, but no one has done it. Like, we're bringing it out to try to do it with the league and how we, you know, have our rules and everything. Some of the one-on-one, you know, weekends companies have done is, to me, it's been like a gimmick of basketball. And I don't want that. I want pure basketball. So that's honestly how I came up with my concept.
And then who are your business partners on this? How are you, you know, running this as a business?
Yeah. So, you know, where I wanted to take this, and this is why, you know, rubbing elbows and really having good people in your circle. I was thinking, and this guy expanded my thinking on this as well. So I was thinking of just, you know, creating some, you know, basketball league around the stage and just having guys play one-on-one, going from this city, that city. But I wanted to expand that. I just didn't know how I was going to do this to do it on a bigger scale than anyone has done it. So my law firm reached out. I reached out to them and asked them if they had anybody that can help me expand my basketball league and what I'm trying to do here. And they put me in contact with somebody else that was a part of the same law firm, and that was Jeffrey Pilot. And I read up on Jeffrey. We had a conversation, read up on Jeffrey, and Jeffrey was a part of the XFL. Yep, Vince McMahon, at the time, they were trying to do the XFL before the pandemic. And I just thought, okay, that's a startup league that they're trying to do. I need to bring this guy in because he's, you know, pretty damn successful. He raised $280 million. This is my guy. And, you know, having conversations, he was just a perfect fit, man. I love Jeffrey and what he stands for. And, you know, he expanded my way of thinking on this business of OBL. And, you know, we had a successful proof of concept season, and we're just looking forward to what's next to come. But Jeffrey he's like the Michael Jordan of the business world. I tell you,
That's great. And then the partnership with Showtime is great too, because again, it's one thing to just have these, you know, one-on-one games, but to bring the stories to life through the documentary that's premiering on July 28th on Showtime, it takes it to another level, and it really attaches the viewer like me to the people I'm watching.
Yes, sir. And that's very important to me because these are players that I think, you know, basketball fans or non-basketball fans should know about because of their unique ability in one-on-one basketball. They're great personalities. And I just thought teaming up with Showtime, who tells really great stories, will be a great fit to tell these guys' stories. And I can't wait for you guys to check out the documentary that's coming out July 28th. I think you're going to learn a lot about one-on-one basketball, but also learn about a lot of untapped talent that is out here with a unique skill set.
Yeah, I mean, we always hear about the playground legends, and
you know, like you said, guys who are being backed to go mm-hmm. to another neighborhood and play one-on-one. It reminds me of the movie White Men Can't Jump, where they're just going around to different, you know, courts and they're hustling people and taking people on. And but yeah, I think it's going to be great. So let me ask you this, because I know you've been asked about, like, if one-on-one took place today, which, by the way, I think it should. Like, I'm in the camp that I think NBA All-Star Weekend has become really stale. It's stale. Just for the sponsors, man.
I was there, bro. It was, I hate to say it, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And I think they need to, they need something refreshing for the fans, for the audience. And I keep saying it over and over. I've said this years ago. They need to do a one-on-one basketball tournament.
Yep.
Really do. And here's my reason for it. And I'll see if you agree with this. So not just because, you know, the weekend is so stale. I think because you have 30 teams and you're trying to add two more teams, which would give us 32 teams. Well, at 30 teams, you don't even have enough stars to go around for all 30 of these teams. I think given a one-on-one tournament on All-Star Weekend will give you an opportunity to start creating more stars. Like, they can be stars in their own right in a one-on-one setting. And they're not necessarily going to be freaking LeBron and James, but they could be a one-on-one star. They could get that exposure and you could create more. I'm not even talking about having the top tier guys play in your one-on-one tournament. I'm talking about the lower tier guys, the guys that are your 10th and 12th men on the bench. Have them guys play in the tournament in one-on-one. And that way you give them more exposure. You give your fan base more exposure to these guys, attach themselves to them. And that way you could create more stars. But, you know, having 30 teams trying to add 32 more and you don't have enough stars to put on all these teams because they're teaming up. For that reason, I think one-on-one basketball would be great. And it's good for an entertainment purpose as well.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, Brian Berger here from Sports Business Radio. Underdog Fantasy is the official gaming partner of Sports Business Radio and the fastest growing fantasy app. Underdog has a variety of daily and season-long fantasy games that you can play. Best Ball Mania has $15 million in pool prize money, and first place wins $3 million. You can play as many entries as you want, and once you draft your team, you sit back and enjoy. No lineup changes needed, and Underdog pulls your best performers and gives you those points. You never have to worry about leaving the wrong player on the bench again. Griggs and I will have our teams drafted for the upcoming NFL season, and this is a great way to enjoy all the upside of fantasy football without having to worry about maintaining your lineup each week. For daily fantasy, I love playing Pick'em and Rivals. With Pick'em, if I get 5 picks right, I can win 20 times my money. It's a fun way to do over-unders on player stats, as well as pit players against each other. We've got a special offer for Sports Business Radio listeners. New users get up to $100 matched on their first deposit when they use the code SBR, like Sports Business Radio. SBR is the code to use. So download the app at underdogfantasy.com or in your app store, and then enter the promo code SBR to get up to $100 to play with. Also, make sure to listen to my conversation on Sports Business Radio with Underdog Fantasy founder and co-CEO Jeremy Levine. He shares the unique story of how he founded Underdog Fantasy, and he has great insight into the future of daily fantasy and sports betting. Thanks to Underdog Fantasy for being the official gaming partner of Sports Business Radio.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
I like your idea. I would want to see the stars, though. Like, put up $1 million. Seriously, give me the jars. And I think it would be the most exciting part of All-Star Weekend. And I think you're proving the concept already with what it could be. And, you know, I'd rather watch that, frankly, than the game itself, than the dunk contest, than the skills challenge. I'm old enough to remember back in the day, you probably don't remember this, you might have to YouTube it. Back in the day, CBS on the weekends would air Horse with the best NBA players. Pistol Pete. Paul Westfall, John Havlicek. Like, and I love seeing the players play horse, and like Pistol Pete always had the craziest horse shots. And
yeah,
like it was fun to watch. I want that again. And I think what you're doing with this league needs to be incorporated into NBA All-Star. So like, are you talking to Adam? Are you talking to anyone about this is an idea? We're proving the concept. Like, is there a way to incorporate this into All-Star weekend?
Yeah. So one of the most important things to me is if I'm going to create a league, I want to go and have conversations with the league that has given me such a great opportunity. You know, and that's going to talk to the NBA office. So we talked to the NBA. I didn't want to be that guy that just created a basketball league and not go and talk to the NBA. So I thought it was very important that we had that conversation to let them know what we're doing, what we're thinking of. And, you know, if they didn't kick us out of the office. So I think they accepted and loved our conversation. So we're looking forward to see OBO come back. Pretty sure we'll have some more extensive conversations with the NBA. So I feel very optimistic about doing something with the league with one-on-one basketball.
That would be amazing because, again, you know, I love the NBA. I used to work for the Trailblazers. I've been a fan my whole life. But All-Star Weekend right now is stale. It needs change.
It does. I agree. And, you know, it really gave me It gave me hope that, you know, one-on-one basketball will come to the NBA because I was watching the game this year and it was so boring. It was so stale. The only excitement and energy came from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown when everybody just let play one-on-one. That was the most exciting part of the game.
That's true.
Okay, we have something here. I think this is going to be a part of All-Star Weekend because it's right in front of our face and people are continuously talking about it. Even the players was talking about it in the post-game conference after the All-Star game. So it's going to come, Brian. It's going to come.
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to. And I think what you're doing is innovative and it's creative. And, you know, again, the fact that you're telling stories on Showtime, like you could have this whole lead up to the NBA All-Star game with the stories of the one-on-one participants. If you were playing one-on-one back in your day, if this had existed, who's the best one-on-one player? Is it you? Is it Kobe? Is it AI? Like, who is it?
All the above. We're all myself, Kobe, AI. Like in my era, there are some great one-on-one players. I mean, even guys you probably wouldn't even think of, Baron Davis, one-on-one player. Like, with some great one-on-one talent in my era. Vince Carter, Paul Pierce. I mean, geez, Kevin Garnett, you name it, man. It was some tough guys then.
Yeah, that would be fun to watch. Because, like, there's something about, like, Allen Iverson going up against you. Because you're bigger. But, you know, he's got the quickness. And, it's just fun to kind of see, like, the different ways of scoring, whether you're bigger, you're smaller.
But also think about this though. Like when you talk about fighting, right? You don't talk about like if there's a 3-on-3 fight or something like that. You don't really know who's the best fighter. I mean, it's a team. Like if I have two other guys on my team, and then we got three other guys on the other side, and we all just, you know, fighting, but there's one-on-one, and you got your individual matchups, you still can't determine who's the best fighter out of all six of us. Just like with the NBA, I mean, yes, we talk about the GOAT. We talk about LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and I throw Kobe in there. But when you line those guys up at one-on-one, like if you take the best player in the NBA today, who I would say Joker is the best player, but because he's a big man, I'll remove him out. I'm talking point guards and like perimeter players, guys that come downhill. And I would say probably to me, Kevin Durant would be that guy, right? Yeah. If you line KD up with everybody that's in the NBA, I think I don't know if KD comes out on top, you know, as being the best one-on-one player. I think there's some guys probably in the league that'll beat him. So If you take, like they say, LeBron James was the best at one point, and LeBron James's time as being the best player, there are some guys in the NBA that have beat LeBron James in one-on-one basketball. So how do we know who's the greatest basketball player? Because I think, I like to think, you know, it's me versus you to crown that guy's the best basketball player. You could be the greatest basketball player in a 5-on-5, but hell, if I beat you one-on-one, what does that make me? You understand what I'm
going with? Yeah. Totally.
Like if you are crowned the best 5-on-5 basketball player, or the best NBA basketball player, but I can beat you one-on-one, how are you considered the greatest? So I want to find the greatest one-on-one basketball player universally.
And I love it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I love it. Just a few minutes left. You played with Yao Ming. And, you know, we look at Joker now, we see Wembanyama coming into the league. I've always said that if Yao had stayed healthy, I think he could have been one of the great big men of all time. What was it like playing with Yao?
It was a joy. I think Yao was one of those players at his size that was so skilled. I mean, Yao can pass the ball. Yao could dribble. Yao shoot 85% from the free throw line. Yao had a mid-range. He had left hand. He had right hand jump hook. Like, Yao was, he was a problem offensively. Defensively, really wasn't on the level of his offense, but he still was effective because of his lateral movement wasn't that quick. But offensively, oh my goodness, man, it wasn't too much Yao couldn't do.
Yeah, and I've stood next to him. Like, people don't realize what a enormous man he is. I mean, he's just so big. Like, Wembanyama, you see pictures of him, like, next to Rudy Gobert, who's 7'1", and he makes Gobert look small. Yao was gigantic.
No, you don't even understand, bro. I used to come into the locker room every day and just look at Yao and just shake, man. I still can't believe how big this human is. I was walking in the locker room, and Yao could be sitting in his chair at his locker, and he looked so freaking huge just sitting down. It's like, good God almighty. And just being around him, standing around here, you just feel out of place because you, like, I'm not used to just continually just looking up to somebody every freaking day and having a conversation. Like, Yao was just a tower.
Yeah.
Great teammate.
All right. Before I let you go, I'm based in Portland. Headquarters of Nike and Adidas. I loved your shoe when you were playing with Adidas. It was very, very popular. You sold a ton of shoes. I know you said a few months back that your partnership with Adidas may be coming to an end. I've got to ask you, because this is a sports business show, like, what is your relationship with Adidas at this point?
Oh, there's no relationship.
That's too bad.
Yeah, only thing Adidas does for me right now, they take care of my AAU program, which I thank them for, but me, for my personal grant, that is done and over with. And it's unfortunate because, you know, we're talking 27 years. And, you know, we just couldn't see eye to eye.
Yeah, that's too bad. Like, I think, you know, you love to see legends like you who had a long-standing relationship with the company, whether it's Adidas or anyone else. Like, you want to see that partnership continue. Like, I look in tennis, you know, John McEnroe's been with Nike forever. He was, you know, with them in the 80s, and he's still with them now. And I'd love to think that, like, you could still be with Adidas. So, you know, you mentioned, like, you're innovative, you're an entrepreneur. You and Kobe talked about starting your own shoe company back in the day. Like, would you ever think about doing that now, or is that not really a category you want to play in that sandbox?
No, I want to play in that. I want to at least give it a shot because I have created a fan base for myself over those years. I just want to give it a shot. I'm around some great creatives, designers around me. I have the business guys around me, and it's something that we are working on. We're doing some outfitting, doing some things for OBL with my team, and we're going to create, you know, my own personal line as well. So we got some things in work right now. Got a couple sample shoes that I've been looking at over the past few weeks, and we're looking to launch a performance shoe February of 24. So stand by for that. Maybe we'll have a conversation on it. I'll see you a couple pairs, see if you like them.
I would love it. I would love for you to come back on and talk about it and promote it. I love when, you know, athletes take ownership of their own brand and their own products. And you know, you've done that really well, including this Ones Basketball League. And, you know, look, like you said, you could outfit the players in the Ones Basketball League with your product. You could put it on your AAU team. I think there's a lot of people who are, you know, still diehard Tracy McGrady fans that would buy your product. So I love it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Stay tuned, Brian. Stay tuned, baby. We working.
That's
gotta
awesome.
Cook it.
That's awesome. Okay, last question. I really liked when you were on ESPN. I think you're a really good broadcaster. You lend good insight. You keep it real. Like some people I think are just trying to be sensational and saying crazy stuff, like Paul Pierce saying the other day that the Heat wouldn't even make it out of the first round if they get Dame. Come on, man.
So you heard that, right?
I mean, I'm a Portland guy, and I've had Dame on this show, and I like Dame. That's ridiculous to think you're going to add Dame to that team, and they're not even going to get out of the first round. Come on. That's silly.
Yeah, Paul was just trolling. He was trolling.
I'm sorry. So you don't troll. So, like, are you going to broadcast more in the future? Might you start your own podcast? Like, I think you have a really interesting voice out there.
I thank you, Brian, but no, thank you, man. I don't have time for it. I don't want to do it. I have no interest in it. You know, I didn't even think I was going to do TV after I retired, but, you know, Rachel came to me. It was a great concept, and I did it for four and a half years. I enjoyed it. Did some appearances on TNT as well, but no, I don't think that's going to be me in the near future of doing television or podcast.
Well, you've got a standing invitation to join me here on Sports Business Radio anytime. I love your business mind. Like, that's one of the things I love about hosting this show is see athletes like you out there doing amazing athletic things. But I love when you get to showcase your business mind and that side of you, too. And I'm really impressed by everything you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you giving me this platform and taking the time to talk to me.
Yes, sir. Tracy McGrady, Basketball Hall of Famer, 7-time NBA All-Star. Founder of the Ones Basketball League. Do not miss the new documentary, Bonded by Ball, Inside the OBL. It debuts July 28th on Showtime. Tracy, this has been a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me on Sports Business Radio.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
5G is here. Is your stadium ready? From an immersive fan experience to efficient game day operations, 5G is transforming sports and entertainment. If you're ready to jumpstart your 5G transformation, look no further than Boingo Wireless. Boingo is one of the largest operators of indoor wireless networks in the U.S. They provide stadiums and arenas with state-of-the-art 5G networks and support teams across the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, at NCAA. I'm constantly interacting with sports executives, and the reason they love working with Boingo is because Boingo manages 5G and Wi-Fi networks end-to-end, offloading very stretched IT teams. Whether your stadium is looking to support mobile ticketing, cashless payment, or connected operations, Boingo has you covered. But don't just take it from me. Their customers include world-class venues like Soldier Field, State Farm Arena, Petco Park, and University of Louisville. Boingo and 5G, now that's what I call a win-win. For a limited time, Boingo has a special offer for Sports Business Radio listeners. They're offering a free 5G assessment for your stadium or arena. To get started, simply email sbradio@boingo.com and mention this podcast. That's sbradio@boingo.com. Our thanks to Boingo for their continued support of Sports Business Radio. Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to the Sports Business Radio team, Brian Griggs, Josh Blank, Ryan Nakajima, and from our friends at CG Sports, CG Young, and Nicole Wardle. I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.
This and every SBR podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and your favorite listening app.
Follow Sports Business Radio on Facebook, Twitter at SB Radio, Instagram at Sports Business Radio, and online at sportsbusinessradio.com. Sports Business Radio is produced by Brian Griggs and Griggs Productions. GriggsProductions.com.